Take your Bibles, if you will, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Let's stand together, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. He shall save his people from their sins is the title of our message today. Beginning in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, or Judah, if you do the Hebrew, and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez, and Zorah of Thamar, and Perez begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, the king of the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Urias, or you may remember Uriah being Hebrew. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we realize that you sent a Savior and that Jesus Christ came through the line and lineage of David the king. Lord, we know that you used ordinary people to bring Jesus here. And that, Lord, you had never intended for Joseph and Mary to be put on some special pedestal, but only, Lord, that we could honor them because of their faithfulness to you. Lord, may we be faithful, not only at the Christmas season, but the whole year through. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Last week, we looked at the first prophecy of a coming Redeemer, and we found that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. In approximately 4,000 years, that prophecy waited to be fulfilled. Now that's a long time, 4,000 years, but you have to remember that God's time and our time is not the same. Now, how many of you are married to someone in your family that suffers from running late? Some of you are very careful not to raise your hand. Yes, I'm not going to ask you if you're the one that suffers from that. But have you ever wondered what the prophets were thinking? It's been thousands of years since this prophecy was given. But the book of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. On September 7th, 2008, I began a series of messages based on the book of Matthew. It took about 3 years to get through the book of Matthew. Well, today we are beginning another series of lessons from the book of Matthew. And let's begin reading at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Again, in verse 21, we see the theme for our title, for he shall save his people from their sins. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned, you and me, every one of us. All need salvation. We all needed someone to go into the slave market of sin and pay the price for our ransom. And Jesus Christ did this with his shed blood on the cross. We could not afford to pay the ransom needed, because there was nothing that the Heavenly Father would accept that you had to offer. Only what God the Son was willing to give, and that was his life. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the church at Corinth, wrote, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, I mentioned earlier that one of the things that I am giving Donna is in our front yard right now, and it's being used even as we are here. I bought a pole. Isn't that nice? I bought her a pole. And then it has a baffle that keeps the squirrels away from the food. Now, they try to get by the baffle, but they can't do it. They can climb up the pole. It's amazing. They can climb up this pole, and they go in underneath the baffle, and I'm sure they're saying there's got to be an exit. But the only exit is back down the pole. And then there are a couple of arms that are on top of the pole, and from this we've been able to hang four different areas in which the birds can feed. And boy, do they eat. And we've had woodpeckers there and blue jays and cardinals and other things. You know, most of us are just those other things. You know, there are only so many cardinals and there are only so many blue jays, but they're the really pretty ones, aren't they? And the woodpeckers are really neat. And the fact of the matter is Donna has been able to enjoy her gift for a couple of weeks now. And she was looking at it this morning, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm glad I got her that. But you know, there's a greater gift than a bird feeder. There's a greater gift than what you're going to be giving your loved ones this coming holiday season. There is something more special, even if you're giving someone a BMW. Wouldn't you like to get a BMW 3 Series? You know I'm not going to get a BMW 3 Series. No. But the fact of the matter, he has given us an unspeakable gift. That's eternal life. Eternal life. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It is important that we realize that Jesus was born and that he came through the line of Judah. That he came through the family line of David. It's important to know that he came through this line because that is what was prophesied. We find first his mother, Mary, a very special young lady. Mary was not sinless, but she was faithful to her Lord. She was chosen because she was a faithful person. We do not know her age. I think she was probably between 17 and 21. That's my personal opinion. You may have another. It doesn't matter. But when we get to heaven, we may know. We may not be told how old she was. But we find that second, she was espoused to Joseph. She was betrothed. She was engaged to this man, Joseph. Note, and it's very important, before they came together, they had not been intimate. She was a virgin. And we find that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Luke 1, 34 and 35 says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You say, do you really believe that Mary was a virgin when she had this child? Absolutely. If God could create man and woman, man from the dust of the earth and woman from a rib bone, could he impregnate a woman? Absolutely. If that was his plan, and that apparently was his plan, and we find that she was willing, and it was not convenient. Because, contrary to today, in those days, a woman pregnant out of wedlock was looked down upon very severely, even to the point that she could have been stoned. It would not have been convenient. It would have been very difficult. Verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband..." Warren Wiersbe writes, "To the Jewish people in that day, betrothal or engagement was equivalent to marriage, except the man and woman did not live together. They were called husband and wife. And at the end of the engagement period, the marriage was consummated. If a betrothed woman became pregnant, it was considered adultery." Unquote. Now, I remember when I asked Donna to be my bride. We were in the state of Texas. We were on campus of the Bible Baptist Seminary. We were in the tea garden. And I said something along the lines that I would one day ask her to marry me. You know how it is. You want to feel out the situation to see if she is interested in some way or form. She may have said, "Don't bother, buddy." And she agreed that I should, and the sooner the better. I remember going into the phone booth there on campus, and of course that was pre-cell phone days. And I remember calling a number in Sterling Heights, Michigan, and Mrs. Derringe answered the phone, and I thought, good, I'll ask her if I could marry Donna. And she goes, "Wait a minute, you have to ask my husband." And I wasn't too excited about that. And I told Mr. Derringe my thoughts and my plans, and I asked if I had his blessing, and he said, "What can I do about it?" And I thought, "What would you like to do about it?" Well, we did get married. 45 years now we've been married. And we find that we were virgins when we got married. It was the what I had been taught. It's what she had been taught. It's what Mary had been taught. It's what Joseph had been taught, that intimacy came after the marriage ceremony. Intimacy is God's gift to the married couple. It's God's gift. To take it beforehand is to be a shoplifter. Don and I were at Myers yesterday, and I could not help but seeing that there were two police cars there at Myers. I don't think they were crossing guards. What had happened in Myers? Somebody had got caught shoplifting. Well, there is God's plan for intimacy, and then there's the world's. And we get in trouble when we go through the world's plan. But we find he was a just man. He was honorable, honest, fair, upright, true, virtuous, lawful. The Bible says, and what a testimony, that he was a just man. It continues, not willing to make her a public example. A woman that had a child out of wedlock would have been considered to be an adulteress, and she could be stoned, taken out, and put in a circle, and people would pick up stones, and they would hurl them at her. That is one thing he could have done. He could have suggested that she stay with her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country in Judah. Just go away. Don't be around me. You're an embarrassment. But verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. What's another word for angel? It starts with an M. Messenger. A messenger of the Lord came and said some things to him. Joseph, thou son of David. Both Mary and Joseph were of the line and lineage of King David. Joseph came through Nathan, one of the sons of David, and Mary came through Solomon, one of the sons of David. Mary was the instrument that God used to bring the incarnate Christ into the world. And as we read earlier, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She was willing to be used of the Lord. I hope that we're willing to be used of the Lord. That we are willing to live a godly life in a very godless society. Then we need to be willing to desire to serve him, even as Mary was. The angel tells Joseph the plan that Mary would conceive supernaturally, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and would put the seed within her. Verse 21, the key verse, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here in America during this time of year, the story is proclaimed. Now, I realize that the world many times wants to have the holiday songs, but they really don't want to have the Christmas songs. But they still get out there. The radio stations will finally start playing the songs that really honor our Lord's birth. Well, we will read them on Christmas cards, and we will see them in different places. But he has come to save his people. We find here in chapter 1, three different names that are given to our Lord. In verse 16, he is called Christ, meaning anointed. And it is the Greek equivalent of the word Messiah. Many Orthodox Jews are still looking for the Messiah. But the thing is, he's already come. He came to die so that we could have eternal life. He will come again. But right now, some are still looking for him and they're missing the importance of the Christmas season. And we find in verse 21 that his name is Jesus, which means Savior, and it comes from the Hebrew name of Joshua, or Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is our salvation. There is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. And then in verse 23, his name will be Emmanuel, which means, or being interpreted, God with us. Aren't you glad that God loves you? You say, well, how do I know that? Well, John 3:16 tells us, for God so what? Loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Father gave God the Son to die for you and for me. It's as simple as that. And as amazing as that, that God was willing to die for you and for me. Verses 22 and 23 tell of the fulfilled scripture. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Hundreds of years before Christ came, it was prophesied that a virgin would have a child. And this child would be a savior. Which brings us to the conclusion. Don't you love that word when a preacher's preaching? Well, I have a 3-point conclusion. Each point will take 20 minutes. You say, wait a minute, you only have 6 minutes. Well, I won't take that long. Don't say amen. Point number one under the conclusion. The believer has been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. We deserve hell. Lost people will go to hell. I know that's not popular to preach today, but not preaching it doesn't eliminate it. Jesus Christ came to save us from the penalty of hell because of your sin and my sin. If we accept him as Savior, then we have received this blessing and we've had the removal of the guilt and penalty of sin. And number two, the believer is being saved from the dominion of sin. Now, I know a lot of times we like to say, well, I wouldn't have done this if they wouldn't have done that. No. You don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. Why do we sin? We choose to sin. And our thought life leads the way. Our thought life. To try to bring our thought life under control is what we need to do. And so the believer has been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. The believer is being saved from the dominion of sin. And number three, the believer is to be saved from the presence of sin. Where will that be? The saved from the presence of sin. We will be where? In heaven. You look forward to going to heaven? Absolutely. Oh, yes, I look forward to seeing my brother who's been gone for 24 years now. I look forward to seeing my mother who died about 4 years ago. I look forward to seeing other loved ones and friends. And I was thinking of some of the friends that I have that have gone on to glory, some that were members of this body of believers. But you know who I look forward to seeing most of all? My Lord and Savior. I look forward to seeing the one who was willing to die for me. For he shall save his people from their sins. I do hope that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Not that you have a head knowledge of him, but you have a heart knowledge of him. That you have come to him and asked him to forgive you of your sins and asked him to be your Savior. I hope you've done that. And if you have, I do hope now that you are serving him as Lord and King. Can we stand together? Our invitation song of the day is "There's a Great Day Coming." 395, for there is a great day coming to the believer, to the one that knows Christ the Savior, when we will stand before him. And there's a sad day coming to the one that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, when they are asked to depart. Only you can say if you've made the decision to accept that unspeakable gift. Dear Heavenly Father, at this invitation time, may the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.